This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of My Mom's Favorite Podcast. Today we're going to have Dave Weingarten on the show, and we'll take some hits from the Bulls and see what's in there, and we'll probably talk some sports because Dave's going to be one of the I know Justin talked a little bit last week about sports, but Dave will be one of the more knowledgeable sports guys that I've had on so far, so we'll probably do a little of that. And then we'll go from there and just see what happens. So again, we're at homemade broadcast production of My Mom's Favorite Podcast with Dave Weingart.
Yeah! Well, I don't know what Mama say stop or I'm gonna tell her papa.
I feel like that's pretty gangster music for you, too.
That's what I expected.
Yeah, kind of hardcore, bringing in hardcore Dave Weingarten.
I'm a bald white guy. Should I listen to?
The gangster-ass name, Weingarten.
Absolutely.
One of the Rothsteins.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, Wine. Anytime a last name's got wine, or like Baum, Witz,
yeah.
Schwartz, you know, strong Jewish name like that, it's intimidating.
It is. It is if they're a bit tanner than me, because then I can assume that they're Israeli, and I'm pretty scared of all Israelis.
They know that Krav Maga. They teach them that in the womb.
I haven't met a soft one.
I don't know. Like I think I haven't met enough Israelis. I haven't taken enough of a social sampling to get to get a good understanding of what the Israelis bring to the table. But I mean, they. You know, they're the stories about Israeli women and how beautiful they are, yeah. And this and that. So, I mean, you hear people are fantasizing about, yeah, Israeli culture. But they have to go in the military. Mandatory for dudes to go in the military.
Oh, yeah.
It's for women, too, right?
Is it for women, too?
I think so.
All right. Sorry, I apologize. That wasn't like a gender-neutral statement. Yeah.
No, I used to work with this lady named, well, I'm not going to say her name. It doesn't need to be put out there on the street.
Use a first name or a nickname.
I'll call her Ronnie. But she was, you know, a nice, older, blonde lady, short. She was kind of, like, soft-spoken, but she was a real close talker because I guess in the Middle East there's less of a sense of personal space from what I'm told.
Okay.
And
she could smell the hummus on her breath.
Yeah. She was a really sweet lady, but when she drove, man, she drove like a maniac, and she drove a Mercedes, and through, like, a parking lot, she'd be doing 35, weaving around people. Like, they have no idea what's going on, and they're like, oh, my God, she's crazy. I'm like, no, that's just how they drive. Like,
she's got a sense of urgency, man. Good for her. That's yeah, the way I drive. I mean, you need to get there.
Well, that's the way you have to drive over there, like IEDs, kidnappings. Like, you got to be, like, quick and on the move and prepared at all times. Very tense situation. So that's just her. That's how she learned to drive.
Well, I mean, do you agree? I agree with that driving methodology.
I can. I'm usually a little medicated, a little relaxed to be swerving around people and shit. I get distracted easily.
I consider it, I mean, I wouldn't say like Mario Kart level, but I consider it a challenge. Like, I'm going to get there before other people. I'm going to take the best route. I'm going to make sure that I switch lanes at the appropriate times, and I'm going to be faster. So not that that's the most important thing, yeah, because obviously, you know, I don't want to get pulled over. But it's, for me, it's a little bit of a race.
My driving style is more, how can I get there without making any left-hand turns? I don't like making lefts. I like to make rights. I feel that I can make them smoother and see the road better, so I try to avoid making left-hand turns. Other than that...
What, are you driving a circle all day?
Yeah. Are you?
It's so pretty close.
You're crossing over a lane, is that it's just frightening and intimidating?
No, it's just, I got shit vision. And so, like, I'm always, like, trying to, like, lean up and make sure I stay in my lane. I feel like I'm too tight or too loose, and there's always some... I drive, like, a little car, and I'm not used to little cars because I used to drive that van.
You know what? So, the reason you have shit vision, you have so much hair, man. You couldn't give you... You couldn't have both. Like, I have great fucking vision. No hair. So, consider yourself lucky. I'd rather have the hair.
It's not that great.
Strengthen your glasses if you need to.
It's not that great, man. It's kind of annoying. Like, I'm growing it out for the cancer babies, so, like, I don't want to cut it.
He just said his hair was annoying. All the hair, the abundance of hair, the sheer volume is annoying.
Well, at least you can look like a full-grown man because you can grow a beard. This talk about our looks, too, is great.
Wait,
for
so
the
you're
listeners.
Saying I don't look like a grown-up? I look like a baby?
No, because you have like a 5 o'clock shadow. Like,
I do.
You do.
Like
I think,
a tough baby.
Yeah, you it's a cute. You're kind of short.
An ex-con. Yeah. I got to go see my parole officer, baby.
You're like, yeah, you could be like two, but you're like, you just did a year and a half. Like, you came out the womb cutting people, did some time.
I've got a Desert Eagle, like, in my diaper.
You're just a buff little 5 o'clock shadow baby.
Exactly.
with some weird tattoos. Oh, my God.
That's my crazy baby.
Do you do that to Jillian? That's your girlfriend's name?
She fucking hates the baby voice. Because I do the baby voice. I don't think anybody likes the baby voice. Everybody's just weirded out by it. But I do it anyways because, you know, it should be uncomfortable. It shouldn't be always comfortable, right?
Right. You got to make shit weird sometimes.
So when I do the baby voice and I laugh, when I do that to her, and then I'll say something like, touch my penis.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Does she do it?
She'll still do it. I mean, it takes a little. I have to recover from that because that doesn't go over very well. So I have to work my way back in the circle. And
so
then,
basically, you spend about 30 minutes heating her up, fuck it all off.
Damage control. Like, I have to do damage control. but eventually, she forgives me and realizes that I'm just being an asshole. It's temporary.
That's one thing I miss about not having a significant other is tormenting that person.
Right.
I mean, it's like, just
I'm not a
person
fart guy.
On call.
I'm not a fart guy. Are you a fart guy?
No, okay. That's gross. I don't do that.
All right. Well, that's a great way to torture. I'm not into that either.
Yeah, that's just disrespectful.
I cut your story off. What were you gonna say?
Oh no, that was it. I just miss just being obnoxious, and you have someone on call all the time that you can just pick on. It's great.
Wow. So you like being a bully, essentially?
Yeah.
You need somebody. To
I was bullied when I was younger, so I got to get it all out now.
You're just paying it forward.
So, ladies, you hear it here. Will Coons is into abusive relationships. All right, that's line up for that, girls.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I really wish I had listeners so I could read angry emails that I got from that comment right there.
I think we should.
Find
angry emails about something else. I'd love to read some angry emails.
Angry emails are always good. Right. Saying that you like to abuse women, it's okay. I don't know if you're paying attention.
Just mentally, not physically.
Oh, well, in that case. You need therapy, my friend.
I know.
I'll find you a good one because I need one too. I did have something else to say, and I forgot what it was.
Let's talk about this studio for a second.
Oh, this wonderful studio
I want to talk about. Do you have three shelves there off to the side that are in serious jeopardy of breaking? That are just one like additional paint can from coming just tumbling down.
I have it.
Disastrous. Everything's broken, and you knew it was going to happen. You just neglected it until it bent beyond the point where it could
those
hold
are comically
anymore.
Warped, Will. I've never said anything.
Yeah,
no, they are. I know. And what happened is because I don't know. I don't know how to be a man, really. So what I had to hang those myself.
Dude, you're missing a third anchor. You needed a third anchor.
I put it in. It didn't stick. So that's why I moved that board down so it wasn't hanging on that top ring. So I had to move them all down. I think it's good though. I tested it out. These are not real wood. So it's
not clearly they're
not going to snap or anything. It's like plastic.
Yeah, those aren't even particle board. They're
it's kind of close to a Salvador Dali painting. It's starting to drip down enough, and with the paint there, I think when it finally does snap, it'll be wildly entertaining.
Not to sound like a badass, but I mean, you could seriously anchor a couple 2x4s between the studs and adhere your shelving to that
to
give it structure, and it wouldn't be dipping. However, I don't know much. That's like one of the two things that I know about home repair.
That's going
to
take also extra effort that I do not want to give.
I didn't factor in the effort. Yeah. And you'd have to cut those 2x4s, and that would take some level of precision and attention span. And
it's fine. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm not worried about it.
I just don't want to be here when it breaks. I'm just letting you know, if I were playing risk management officer, I would come in and say, hey, we probably should do something with these shelves before you have paint cans spilling all over the...
Definitely. I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to keep riding this wave.
I won't like ash on the ground. I'll, just in case there's something volatile or flammable that is spilled.
It's probably
because
a good
crumbling
idea.
Shelf.
Yeah, you never know with this stuff. I don't even know what's up there.
With the table underneath, I just kind of want to set up a camera to watch the movie scene in action as like the one shelf starts to slowly crack. Boom, boom, boom.
Time-lapse video?
Yeah.
It's going to be just, like a World Trade Center.
And then like Will come flying out of the bedroom. Because it'll have to happen while he's sleeping.
Yeah,
that's the only way it's appropriate.
I didn't mean to hijack your conversation, but that was just clearly had to be talked about.
It's a very dangerous situation. Attention had to be brought to it.
That's right.
I don't think he has anybody sleep under there, though, so I think no lives are in danger.
Yeah, not right now.
I'm just not getting my security deposit back.
Yeah.
not yet.
That's just kind of where you move out with a note on the door.
Sorry.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this podcast. So you asked me to be on this podcast. I'm excited. Yeah. Let's hear. Give me a little bit of a backstory, or what is your mantra? What is this podcast? What is your mission with this podcast?
You see what we've been doing so far?
What's that?
That's about it.
Oh, all right.
just hang out, chit chat. Yeah, organic. Just let it go. I do have some segments that I slip in from time to time.
But if somebody said, hey, James Bailey, you got a baller-ass podcast, what is your podcast about? If you could sum it up, if a reporter was like, hey, I want to do a piece on your podcast, if you could give me a phrase or a sentence that describes your podcast, what would that be?
Assholes talking shit.
Assholes talking shit. Which, you could put that on a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, I don't think would make it into the papers. Expletive talking expletive.
That's intriguing. What are the expletives?
You just put a ampersand or whatever in there. It'll be good.
I think if you really think about the name, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, but if you really think about the name, My Mom's Favorite Podcast, if somebody's listening to it and they're like, hey, man, what are you listening to? My Mom's Favorite Podcast.
You make them say it.
Yeah, it's just, and then it's like when I do a show or something. Okay, coming up next, the host of My Mom's Favorite Podcast. Like, fuck, like, people are just like, oh, god damn it.
Gotcha.
But they got to
like,
say it.
It's like the Hertz donut.
Yeah. It's fucking beautiful.
Right, that was gay.
I was going to roll over it. I was going to let you slide, you beautiful bald baby, you.
Your fucking picture back there looks like a distorted painting of me.
It actually is.
Do you have your ear pierced?
It's got a Jewish nose. It's got a anatomically correct Jewish nose.
Yes.
It's got a nice bald head.
Mm-hmm.
The mustache is missing, though.
It's got its tongue out. Yeah, it does have a handlebar mustache, and I've never...
No, it doesn't have his tongue out. It's just his bottom lip.
But
no.
You can grow a handlebar mustache.
No, I can't.
What?
I have strict rules against things like that. The reason that I have had, like, I've been getting laid for the good part of the past 10 to 15 years, including my future wife, but that's because I've avoided the handlebar mustache. I think that would have been seriously compromised if I was trying to get laid with a handlebar mustache.
It wouldn't have helped.
Now I'm not trying to get laid, but I'm trying to keep getting laid by my fiance, and a handlebar mustache would throw a huge wrench in those
Jews. Plans. Jews shouldn't have handlebar mustaches.
Right. That's got to be. It's like reverse Hasidic. Like,
yeah. But you should definitely
turn it
do
on
the
its
beard.
Side and shit.
Mm-hmm. But you should do the beard. You have a nice full beard.
Here's the deal with the beard, right? So I'd rather just shave everything in a fucking just... nonchalant, I don't give a fuck manner without paying attention, then have to manicure some weird shit and not get the neck beard, but kind of get the neck beard and shaved. I don't want any of that. I don't want to have to groom a goatee like a bitch. I'm not doing it.
So just trim it up to the neck, just trim it off the neck, nope. And then just let it ride.
The just is the part that turns me off. Just nothing. I'm shaving all the shit in one fail swoop. I'm going to be everything smooth. If somebody asked me to join their dive team today, I'd be like aerodynamically, I got this shit.
How often do you have to shave everything?
So I do, I use my handy shaver, which I love, I do a joke about, but I use the shaver probably every other day to keep it nice and smooth, but I do not use the straight razor, so it's super easy. And then I use the straight razor in the shower to shave the rest of my face, but it's all uniform. No discretion, no delineation between facial hair patterns, nothing. It's all
dude,
one fell swoop.
I would happily give you all of this to be able to grow facial hair properly.
Don't you want some of James's immigrant hair?
If the devil was here and we could make a weird exchange, I would say yes. I'll take that deal in a heartbeat.
Oh, dude, you have no idea.
Oh shit, you have a great head of hair, but you can't grow a mustache. That sucked. No, that doesn't suck at all. That's amazing. Oh, ask any balding guy which one they'd take, and they'd be like, "I will murder James Bailey if I can extract his hair follicles and use them. I don't care if he dies. I want to use those hair follicles."
You can get hair though if you want to. Now the technology's there now, and it seems like it's
that's such a common theme among people without hair. But let me tell you something, dude. Having it is not that much fun. I used to shave it. That's how much fun hair is.
Shut the fuck up. That's not an argument. Here's the problem, right? You can get follicle transplants, you can get, you know, hair restoration, whatever. Have you ever seen one of those on TV where you're like, I love that hairstyle. I can't tell that it looks like a fucking one of those like faux grass mats in the outside the front
hair.
Door. Like
the
there's
spray
just
on hair. I love the
it's
spray
not
on
enough.
Hair.
You can't get enough like consolidated volume of hair follicles to make it look like real hair.
I think you can now, though. I heard, I know what you're talking about because they used to take it off the back of your head, right. And then it looked like you had back legs. Head hair they on the front of your head, and it look weird.
They do follicle by follicle, and it's you pay per follicle.
Yeah.
But it's you can't get enough, like, they can't be close enough. The proximity, it's going to look like the faux grass carpet on the mat outside your front door. That's the way it's going to look. The I thing that attracts dirt so you don't track it into the house, that's the way the hair...
I know you what you're talking about, but I think it's different now, though. I think I heard there's some guy around here.
I looked into it, though.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Tell me about this guy. Tell me about this guy's quote-unquote success story.
There's a guy that I heard on the radio that he had it done through this doctor that does it here. Okay. And I guess this is paid advertisement, so I didn't see it, but they were like, it looks awesome. Looks pretty good. No, he was a guy that actually worked for the station, but I'm sure the doctor was like, here, I'm going to give you $10,000. To talk about it on the radio,
right.
But supposedly it looked good. I haven't seen it. I just heard it on the radio. So
dude, if the guy was on the radio and he was giving him something, there could have been hand jobs and even more.
Right,
there could have been a very insincere, biased opinion.
All right, well let's ask our fistful of listeners, email in to the show or go to the show's page, my mom's favorite podcast on Facebook. Go there, message in. And let's see, if you were, would you rather be bald with great facial hair, not be able to grow facial hair, but a full head of hair?
Mm. This is, the vote better be so fucking lopsided. If it's a fistful, it better be fucking 5-0. There's no way.
You can put this on Twitter. You can make like a poll.
Make that. Make all that five poll, of your James. Listeners chime in. But seriously, there's no comparison. You've never seen, maybe, you've never, I've seen like.
I think I have 100 black, Twitter followers.
Black models. Like your boy, who's the dude?
Tyrese.
From Zoolander. Tyrese. Black guys, great, no problem. White guys have to have hair, man. They have to fucking... If you're
Wait,
gonna be
why
a model,
was I so quick to know that?
Tyrese?
What about Michael Michael Chiklis? I mean, I wouldn't bang him. That's a, come on, a big, thick, solid dude.
Joe Rogan. He's a good example.
Yeah,
he's
Joe Rogan. Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis is like 70. He's still slaying pussy.
Joe Rogan, he hung on long with the hair. He went... He tried the hair transplant.
He had like the mohawk in the front.
He struggled.
Did he really?
All the way back. He had hair in the back, but he had this little strip in the front. News radio days.
He struggled, man.
I used to watch him on news radio, and that's when he was like, I guess, losing it. And then I kind of like lost track. I lost track of him like we were buddies. I kind of didn't see him on anything. I think that was during my drug years, though. Is when I lost track of a lot of fucking famous people.
No, Joe Rogan, he struggled with it, and then finally he gave in like I did. I mean, at some point, you have to just succumb to it. And then once you do, you're liberated, and you can fucking do whatever you need to do from there. But until you get to that point, you're trying so much bullshit.
You're right, though, because I'm trying to think of another bald actor, and I can't. Michael Chiklis, nah, nobody wants to fuck Michael Chiklis. Bruce Willis and Joe Rogan. And I'm trying to think of any more.
Well, there's that one porn star, the really tall porn star dude. Like super ripped. Yeah, super ripped. Got a huge cock. Like got a shaved head.
That sounds like a lot of porn stars, bro.
No. There's this same guy. God damn, was it Johnny something?
I think I know who you're talking about. He's in a lot of Brazzers videos. A
lot of those. He's all over the place. This guy's got his footprint everywhere. This guy is like I don't even know what to equate.
Is he white?
He's ubiquitous.
Yeah. White guy?
Yeah.
He's like 6'4". I know what he's talking about.
I have no idea.
Johnny something. Yeah. But anyways, God bless him and whatever person he knew to get in that position. But
well, I just saw the thing.
He's got a shaved head. He's in that club.
Do you have an Apple Watch?
I do.
Why?
Because he has a... Please tell me you have an iPhone, too.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Otherwise...
I was like, wait. Because I looked down for a second. And it looked like an iPhone for a second. I was like, wait a minute.
Are you finding it useful at all?
Yeah, I love all that shit. I had the Pebble. The Pebble Kickstarter, which Pebble was the black and white, like initial smartwatch. So I got black and white text messages and emails and shit, and I could read them on my watch. But it was very like remedial shit.
What is the biggest asset to the watch? What's the thing you use the most?
For me personally, the activity tracker. You know, like I didn't want a Fitbit because. I don't know. I don't want an extra fucking band. I want a watch, like all in one.
Well, don't they have a Fitbit that tells time?
Now they do.
Oh.
But plus, I like Apple shit. I have the iPad and the Apple TV, and I'm just a dork. I work in technology. I have like my whole career, like 16, 17 years now.
I thought you were anti-Apple for a long time.
Well, I do have that joke about not liking Apple, but I've come back around. I'm all in for Apple. Yeah, I had a breakup, but I'm back full blood. We're talking about having
I had an iPod. What's the fucking iPod that used to be able to get, like the first one to get online? It was like a smartphone that didn't make phone calls, but it had every other app on it.
Oh, I got you. The Touch.
Yeah, the iPod Touch. Like, I think I had like the second generation of that. Ooh. Back in like, got that had to have been about 2010, maybe.
It's really impressive. That's an impressive.
I don't like. The pod iPod.
Yeah.
Okay, I had one of those, like a 60 gig one, and my buddy used to pirate music all the time. And I had like 55 gigs of music on this thing. It was incredible. And one day it broke, didn't work anymore. And I was like, oh, it's cool. I got it on my computer at home. And then 2 weeks later, my computer broke. So I lost almost 60 gigs worth of music. And ever since then, I'm like, I'm not messing with those things ever again because I can't get my heart broken like that anymore.
What kind of luck is that?
What? It's just my luck.
First of all, as a tech geek that's been that way for, you got to back up your shit. If it's important, you back it up.
True. I saw that coming. Come on. Yeah. Now. Yeah.
So, I mean, anybody that's tech savvy is going to have zero sympathy for you. But
that's the first thing a Jewish tech guy is going to say. After the first, up.
After the first disaster, after the, oh shit, I can't get my music off my iPod, I would have thought you'd be like, hey, maybe I should take precautionary measures to make sure that if something happens to the other only copy.
So you got
to
keep backing everything. Because what if your backup fucks up then? Because I had a backup on my computer.
You're always
and then my computer.
You always
took
have
a dump.
To be one step ahead of it, my friend.
So you got to back it up everywhere.
You have to make sure that it's an N plus one theory, is what it is in the tech realm. You have to have as many as you need plus one as a spare. Sorry, I hit the.
But
table.
How many? How many do you
very
need?
Very sensitive.
You always do three? N plus one. So it doesn't matter if you have one, then you have two. N plus one, whatever your N is, that's your number of current copies.
So he's saying you had your iPod and your computer, so it's two. So you should have had a third.
2 plus 1.
So back up you had your iPod backed up onto your computer. Your computer should have been backed up onto something else.
Yep. And then that's your business continuity disaster recovery mechanism.
I'm just not going to listen to music anymore. That's what I decided.
Maybe you weren't meant to. If you're going to be irresponsible with your music and not back it up, maybe you weren't meant to. You're not privileged enough.
Can we do that? Can we make a law where people lose their privilege to music?
Right after we address.
No, you can't.
I don't know how.
That would be wonderful.
Go ahead. Sure.
Were you going to go into gun control?
Nah, I don't know. I don't know why I was thinking about.
Let's defend Donald Trump. You have one.
Yeah.
I've kind of done that. Back when he first started with the campaign crazies, I said exactly was, look, hate him. If you want to hate him, that's fine. I'm not a big fan of his. But don't hate him. Don't take something he said out of context and hate him for
that's
it.
That's my thing, too.
Like, you can just hate him. You don't have to take his things out of context. Don't take his shit out of context. Just look at it straight on, and there's still more than enough reason to hate him.
Yeah, but, dude, it's all that stuff. All the hatred is great for him.
Oh, he doesn't care.
I'm a huge proponent of making waves regardless of the wave. Like, you find a way to, as long as there's no legal or moral implications that you can't recover from, you fucking make a stink.
Well,
you make
a name like for yourself.
Conor McGregor, yeah. Perfect example.
Oh, yeah. Well, hold on, because he might be one of the topics in the Hits from the Bowl. Of my segments is, if at any time you feel like it, you can just reach into the bowl and there's like six random topics in there.
I didn't know that. You didn't brief me on any of that.
No, I don't. I don't brief anybody on anything except for the Netflix pearl.
Well, I would have never figured that out.
We fly by the seat of our pants here.
I would have never looked in that bowl and be like, are those topics? Are we doing the topic pool tonight?
Yeah, dude. It's here, I'll put this in the middle so, like I said, whenever you want to give her a go. But, yeah, we just kind of do whatever. There's no real set thing to...
For shizzle.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not a real grown-up professional podcast. That's why you can swear so much here. Wills, you can't swear. What you got?
Cleveland Superman statue.
Oh, yeah. Since you're from Cleveland, and the reason I was going to have you on a couple weeks ago.
You're not from Cleveland, though. You lived in Cleveland.
I was born in Columbus, and I moved to Florida. Grew up in Florida, essentially. Right. And then when I finished the Army and school and shit, I moved up to Cleveland, got a job, and was there for like 11 years.
Oh, yeah. So Cleveland.
I mean, essentially, I like matured in Cleveland, if you will.
Yeah. You came into who you are as a man.
If you want to say it like that.
I did.
With a thin mustache.
A thin. It's just
creeping
peach
me out
fuzz.
A little bit.
It's just because I haven't shaved in like a week and a half.
Yeah.
Like, this is seriously probably a week's worth of growth.
Sometimes no facial hair is better than just a little bit of facial hair.
It's so, I know, but I'm lazy. Yeah. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, fuck, I should have shaved.
Tell me about the Superman statue, James.
So a couple weeks ago, we were going to have you on the show because the one previous to that, I had kind of shit on Cleveland in a segment. And I was like, you know what? I'll have Dave on here, give him a chance to defend Cleveland.
Please.
And one of the things I was trying to do is I found some good Cleveland-related stories.
Okay.
And one of them was that since Superman, I think, oh God, this was a couple weeks ago, so I'm a little, woohoo. I think it was that the guys who invented or like created Superman were like from Cleveland or in Cleveland when they did it, and Superman is kind of like born from Cleveland. So they're thinking about putting up a statue of Superman in Cleveland.
Superman's born from Cleveland?
In some way, shape, or form. I can't remember the story exactly because it was several weeks ago.
I thought it was Krypton. Wasn't it Krypton? Cleveland Krypton. I could see if you're drunk or something. Maybe
they should both. Oh, yeah. They're both pretty.
That's a good point.
They're both pretty much destroyed.
Because it's not Superman wasn't born in Cleveland. I think it's more that he was originated. The creators originated.
Okay.
They were in Cleveland.
All right. So the person that thought of Superman, the person that dreamed
him up. I thought that was implied.
Because Superman's not real, guys. I don't know if you know that, but he's a fictional character. I know James is probably heartbroken.
My hero, man. I met him once on the subway. It was great.
So what am I supposed to defend here? Like, I don't even know.
No, just your thought. Like, I thought that you might be up on the Cleveland news.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. So Cleveland's known for many things, usually, like mistakes and shitty sports franchises and yada.
Brownies were
yesterday.
I mean, Sunday.
What did they play?
They beat the 49ers, which was our third victory of the season. Yeah.
Johnny Manziel came in and started that game too, right?
Yeah. So I am a huge Johnny Manziel supporter partially because as a Browns fan, I've seen them go through I think like 22 quarterbacks. I don't know what the exact count is since they came back in the league in 2000. I want to see somebody at least get a chance to just thoroughly suck before we pull the plug on him. So with Johnny, they fuck with this kid. Yeah, he's had some behavioral issues, but he's an alpha fucking badass. If you just let him do his thing, he's a lot to blame, but so are the Browns, man. They've been fucking with him. They got to at least give him some vote of confidence if they want him to lead the team. Well, you can't just be a dick and then be like, give. You can't do that.
Well, he keeps just portraying such douchebaggery off the field. If you want to come in as the face of a franchise, okay, I'm a Bucks fan. Right. We talked about this. Jameis Winston comes in.
Right.
He has this reputation, his attitude, a lot like Johnny Manziel did. It was the only comparison they really had.
No.
Yes.
Jameis Winston is a model citizen.
No. I said came into the draft.
In Tampa.
Yeah.
But not before Tampa.
Because he had.
Fair enough.
Far from a model citizen.
He jumped on the table, the crab legs, the Burger King.
Yeah, fucking right in the pussy is not a model citizen.
Yeah, no. There were
say.
Several incidents, but when he came here, he straightened the fuck up. He's been doing tons of community shit. Yeah, model citizen.
I'm with you 100% there. Like
model teammate.
He's a changed man. Like if he was preaching Jesus, I'd be like, he's born again. But I don't know what happened. He met Derek Brooks or somebody that decided to like make sure this kid was going to be all right, and he's run with it.
Yeah, like he hasn't made mistakes off the field. I mean, and he's been the best rookie. They said he's the youngest player to get to 3,000 yards in NFL history.
He's a smart guy, man. He finally just allowed himself to be smart. I think he was just still a kid, and he grew up, and he's been doing really well. Somebody, so good for him and good for Tampa because God knows the Bucks fans, unless they have something like that, they're not going to those games.
Dude, when I tell people I'm a Bucks fan, especially when I tell them I used to live in Wisconsin, and I'm originally from Wisconsin, and I tell people I'm a Bucks fan, the first thing they say to me is like, what, since 02 or what, 4-0-2? And I'm like, no, bitch, from like the 80s, like Eric Rett, Vinny Testaverde, Hardy Nickerson,
you feel like
Sam White.
You have to rattle off the names just to kind of give you cred.
I'm surprised people give you crap about it, though, because who cares? Like the Bucks are one of those franchises where everyone's like, whatever. Like, you don't have people get mad at you.
There's no bandwagon Bucks group of
fans. There is, though. Every time the Bucks put together two games, like the Super Bowl year was horrible. But then, a couple years ago when we went 10-6, like every week that we went just a little bit, did a little bit better, more and more people, oh, yeah, go Bucks. And then a week later, like, oh, worst team ever. Don't know why I'm in the city.
Well, like, that's Tampa, man. Like, all the fans have allegiance elsewhere. Like, everybody came from another state.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, for me, the Bucks are a good team, and I'll root for them, but the Browns are my team. And that's the way a lot of other people are, because Florida is kind of the destination for people that hate shitty weather. So all the Midwestern people, they're not leaving Detroit Lions fans and, you know, Green Bay Packer fans. And
Giants
fans.
Oh, no, those are diehard fans.
Yeah, they're not leaving their team, so the Bucks don't get those fans.
When they played the Giants a few weeks ago, I'd never seen so much blue in that stadium. I think at least half were Giants
fans.
It's
ridiculous.
Yeah, and your family, you inherit your teams of whoever your dad and mom are rooting for. So.
And that's the whenever they sell out a Rays game, it's usually because it's against the Yankees or Boston. That's like... A couple of years ago, we were the number two team in MLB for, like, I want to say almost a month. Just nobody was there.
Yeah, but you know what the thing about the Rays, though, is they have one of the biggest TV audiences.
Yeah, because it's hot as fuck and people don't want to leave the house. Even though it's a dome stadium, which is fun, you got to deal with St. Pete. No offense to St. Pete, but it's not a great place to navigate. And there's not a lot of big businesses there the way you would in maybe a more metropolitan type city. So, you know, they have to at least at some point realize that and do drastic to fix it, or realize that people are going to stay home and watch the game because it's full HD and TV is great, and, you know, they don't have to fuck with the traffic to go watch a baseball game.
And there's 140 games. It means there's something like 80 home games to
81
go to?
Home games, yeah.
So where do you think to move the stadium? Then do you be one of the people that wants to put it in Tampa, or do you want to put it on the waterfront, or
I want to put wherever it makes the most. You have to have corporate buy-in. I mean, you have to have people that are going to buy your suites, you know, your loges and stuff, and give you an immediate fiscal layer.
Jesus Christ.
Holy crap, man.
What the hell was that?
Yeah.
Well, about that. If you let the computer sit for too long, it just like kind of shuts off.
That was one of the worst things that's ever happened to me.
Was it scary? I could see both of you guys got scared.
My ears are bleeding.
Oh, yeah, dude. It startled me. I did that. I was coming home from, where was I coming home from? I want to say Sanford. A couple weeks ago, I did a show up there. And, God damn it. All right, we get it. You're white guys that are cool. Okay. Oh, yeah, I was coming back from Sanford. My music cut off on Pandora for a second because I was, like, going over the bridge.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just, like, 2 minutes of silence while I was trying to catch up, and then, bam, started off with a real loud song, and I jumped in my car, almost drove off the bridge. It was fun.
This is a suspenseful story.
Yeah, I kind of should have. Once you guys stopped me, I should have been like, oh, why didn't I take the hint?
It's all right, man. Just keep doing your thing, bro.
I'm all rattled by the
I know,
loud
it
noise.
It kind of shakes everything up. Can I take a hit from the bowl, James, and pick a topic?
Yeah, go ahead. Have fun. Get at it.
All right. We have, if I can open it, more important for happiness.
Oh, we already talked about this. Yeah, it came up. Organically.
You put a topic back in the fucking bowl.
No. We ended up talking about the hair and the beard anyway.
Okay.
Oh, here you go. McGregor versus Aldo. 13 seconds. What happened?
Yeah, I thought this was supposed to be like the fight of the century, and because you're a big UFC guy, right?
Yeah. Wait, you're coming in a little fuzzy. In my move away from the mic just a little bit. Talk there now.
Is that better?
It's so much better.
I need to buy new headphones. That's on my to-do list.
I might have been leaning up on it, too.
But anyways, I watched Aldo McGregor. I fucking love mixed martial arts and UFC and all that shit. But I picked Aldo. Like, I thought Aldo all day, you know, he had been winning for like 10 years consecutively, unbeaten, beat some of the baddest dudes on the planet, Frankie Edgar, Uriah Faber, every other badass featherweight there was. And I thought he was going to be a better opponent for Conor McGregor, but Conor just, he's got such precise punching, just tapped him on the jaw and done.
Do you think it was just like a lucky shot, or you think if they fought again, that's going to happen? How many times out of 10?
Well, I questioned him, like when he first He fought this guy, fights for Greg Jackson, Diego Brandão. And there was supposedly an injury, whatever, he was a fill-in. But he beat the shit out of Brandão, and it looked like Brandão just kind of rolled up and gave up.
Yeah.
So I kind of was, you know, on the fence about him at that point. And then he fought this guy, Dustin Poirier, who's awesome and has beat, like, some really badass dudes. And he took it to Dustin Poirier, and then I realized he's legit. He did the same thing to Chad Mendes, and then he beat Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. So the guy's the real deal. And he's just a different kind of fighter, and he's got a great style that works.
Why doesn't anybody like McGregor?
He talks so much shit.
Dude. Oh, was that? Okay.
But the thing about Conor McGregor is people love Conor McGregor. It's not you either love him because you're Irish or because he's intriguing or whatever, or you hate him, but there's no middle ground. People don't have a non-opinion on Conor McGregor.
And it's always about his mouth. Like, nobody ever says, like, well, I mean...
No, it's about his fucking success now and his style.
Well, you won't hear a lot of people say, like, oh, you know what, I really respect him as a fighter, but he just talks to him. It's either I hate him, he runs his mouth, or I love him, he's so, like, wild and intriguing, like you said.
Which is even more amazing because he's crossed over beyond just the sport and the fans of the sport, and people are able to talk about him in a more generalized context, which, how many fighters can you say that about?
Maybe, couple. Like...
Ronda Rousey.
Brock.
Ronda Rousey, Jon Jones, and Conor McGregor, that's about it.
Brock Lesnar was...
But he's not even a fighter anymore. He's a
not
WWE
anymore, but
wrestler.
when he was there, he was pretty polarizing.
Agreed.
Though.
Yeah, I agree.
I wanted him to do well so bad.
He did okay. Like,
well, he was a champion for a little while,
beat the piss out of Frank Mir in their second fight.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't really count the fight against Randy Couture just because it was so, like, size-wise, so lopsided.
But he still beat Randy Couture.
Yeah, I mean, but... He was a wrestler, and he's, what, twice his size, it seemed like.
Wasn't
during
Randy Couture like 50 too when they fought?
Yeah.
No, he was probably late 30s when they fought.
Oh, really?
I mean,
he had probably at that point 60 fights and under his belt.
I didn't think it was going to be that lopsided, but yeah, it's a tough size.
Yeah.
Because the heavyweight goes from 225 to 265.
Yeah.
So Brock Lesnar was always a 265 because he had to cut weight to get to that threshold. Randy Couture, not 265.
Yeah.
You know, he's just a heavyweight. He fought at light heavyweight, too, so he could be either way. He just wanted that fight with Brock Lesnar.
And Brock was such an interesting opponent because he was 6'4".
Oh, and he's fucking huge.
And but like, 6'5", you'd expect 6'7". And, like, the way he just packs it on, he's solid, and he's very quick.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, at some point that body had to have been altered by steroids. So he probably was clean when he needed to be clean, but there had to be some remnants. You're not a WWE whatever the fuck wrestler without taking some shit. Those guys are on constant shit.
Well, they don't take shit to get big. That's why a lot of them, you don't see them as cut anymore for a lot of them.
Professional wrestlers?
Yeah, wrestlers are pretty small
watch
now.
It. No, they're not small. It's just you don't see as much definition.
In the 90s?
But,
were all
on John Cena is a perfect example.
Yeah, but he's big, but he's not cut.
He's enormous because of, I mean, I might run into him and he'll hate me for exposing this, but John Cena, HGH and anabolic steroids have to be at the root of your physical success. There's no way around it.
A lot of
enormous.
Them take steroids as a way to help repair their bodies because every but they don't take it in excess of that.
No, but you can't you can't just pick and choose. I want these side effects, but not these side effects.
Well, no,
you're
just you're still going to get, but they're not taking it to get big. It's a side effect of them taking smaller amounts.
I don't give a fuck what they want to do. They're going to get bigger and it's going to alter their body. So, hey, do what you need to do. I took steroids when I was younger.
Did you really?
I spent about a year of my life and I was just telling Law and JB about it yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I spent about a year of my life and I did some steroids.
Really?
What were the negative side effects that you had?
Well, I lived in Ohio, and it was near Youngstown.
That is a negative side effect.
Well, that
these
was
steroids make me want to live in Ohio. What the fuck? And then comes the rage.
Yeah, so out there, I mean, you know, there's not a lot to do. You're in the Midwest. It's cold. You don't see sun for a lot of months out of the year. And, you know, some heavy bitches if you're single. It was a tough time. But the one constant was, like, you'd have your friends at the gym and stuff. And so a lot of people out there, they took shit, and a lot of shit. Human growth hormones, I knew people that used to inject themselves in the stomach with HGH.
Oh, wow.
And they would take cocktails of Sustanon and other testosterones and other shit. I took Decadurobalin, which was an oil base. Winstrel V, which is a water base, and then Ecopoise, which are all animal steroids that I got from like Mexico and shit. Yeah, I had
to What happened to your body? I mean, you probably got bigger. Obviously.
Did you get the rage?
Yeah, I got my body got bigger. I mean, I've always had like bigger legs, bigger chest, just by nature. But I got really big. Like my chest, I was benching like 335, and I'm only like 5'9" at my on my best day.
Yeah,
so,
like you're not a tall. I mean, you're definitely like as I sit across from you, like cut up.
Well, it's because I'm flexing. I mean,
the whole time.
It's kind of
that's amazing.
I like to intimidate physically when I'm on somebody's podcast. But so no, I took the steroids and I was injecting my ass. It was a deck, and injecting my ass. I had to order the needles online and this bunch of bullshit. And I was able to put up 335, and I was big, and it just, at the time, seemed like something I might have wanted. But
Did it?
Stupid. I wasn't training for any competition. Or
you were just getting big to get big.
Just getting big so I could be some other asshole that has a better chance of getting pussy that night. That's really all it was. Can I put myself in a prime position to get pussy? And my distorted perspective was I need to have some steroids to help me get to that level of pussy attractiveness.
So you got the rage, though.
Yeah, there were a couple times where like I just started a fight for no reason. Or one time I didn't get a beer right away and I got pissed off. And I remember I was elbowing a pillar for about, I don't know, 15 minutes with the back of my arm. And the next day it was just all bruised up. I would have never done that in a sober, non-steroidal state. So it was a bad time for me. But looking back, you know, it's something at least I went through.
Do you have a criminal record now because of it?
I do not have a criminal record.
That's good.
Did you get very vascular? I noticed that a lot of guys that take steroids, they get very toned, but their veins even increase in size.
Is it hard constantly?
Well, that's...
I'm easing into that one. Vascular.
That's a constant. But the... no, I got vascular. It depended on how lean I was. Like, you could get vascular, but if you're not lean, you're not necessarily going to see that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So I was never a big fan of cardio. Now that I'm 38, I have to be a fan of cardio. But back then, I'm like, I'm going to skate, eat mini ravioli until I don't have to anymore.
And that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was over 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Maybe 12, 13 years ago.
Did it infect little Davey? Were there any side effects thrown his way?
Oh, my balls?
Yeah, your balls, your dick, anything in the general, penis don't work.
I'm sure. No, the penis was good because I always had a backup plan, like a Viagra or something to go with that. No, I think ultimately it hurt when I would inject myself. Like I would have to sometimes do like half in each ass cheek or half in each shoulder if I was doing the water base. But it was just, like I said, me being an asshole for no reason.
Dude, if I even had the dedication that you had doing that towards anything in life, man, that's, I mean, yeah, you know, you're doing steroids, good calling quitting, but still, that's some dedication.
Give me props for don't do any of that. I should have never got to the point where I'm like, I could use some steroids to help my self-esteem. That's never a good solution.
At least you went that way. For my self-esteem, I thought drugs and alcohol would do the trick. It did for a while when I was younger, and I could just stay skinny by not eating and just supplanting food with, drugs and alcohol. Just more. And I stayed skinny, and it worked out okay. But then when I got older, my body's like, no, you need to put food in me.
Right.
And then I was just a fat, greasy drunk. So I think you met that me.
Yeah, I think you have to reach fat, greasy drunk, though. Like, you know, if you don't want to be like just a chubby, greasy drunk, because then you may never come to the realization that this is bad, you know?
Yeah.
You need to hit fat, greasy drunk to really fully be engulfed in that state to where you're like, I don't want to be fat and crazy drunk.
Yeah, so now I'm just a chubby, sober guy that's sipping water watching you down Mai Tais. Not you necessarily, but, you know. Well, I didn't want to send the wrong message across.
I feel about your mild facial hair. Other than that, you're on your own.
I should have shaved. Damn.
I'm going to the bowl again, man.
Take another hit from the bowl. Oh, wait. All right, after this one, we'll do the Netflix pearls.
This is a very verbose entry. CA shooter used Facebook privacy settings to talk/plan attack.
Oh, yeah. I read something on the interwebs that said one of the California shooters had like a secret room set up on Facebook with like privacy settings. So that's the way nobody saw Do you think this is actually like a real story? Because they do have settings like that. Yeah, or like, do you think it's just another... or do you think they're just trying to find an excuse to be like, nope, we're going to Big Brother everything now?
Like a jihad room? Like a jihadi John...
Are you buying this? Are you a conspiracy theorist? Do you think it's...
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know that they're that blatant about it. But yeah, I mean, the terrorists, they have weird cryptic ways of communicating, you know?
Yeah.
They have weird ways of embedding... like messages in photos and other things to where you have to kind of, it's almost impossible to reverse engineer their logic, you know? So with stuff like that, I don't think they need to be blatantly obvious as to what they're doing. We just may only know because of the intelligence or the lack thereof, you know?
Oh, so you, okay.
That's my opinion. Just working in the tech realm. I would hope that they'd be smart enough. Like, yeah. Not that I root for the terrorists to be smart enough, but
right.
I would hope that they at least be smart enough if they're going to be serious about it to fucking, you know, do your homework and not have a Facebook group called Jihadi Kill the Americans.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure they coded it like that or something. But, like, it struck me as odd that they keep talking about how they're using tech and they're using social media to recruit. And it's like, I saw this on a TV show from, like, 2 years ago. Did the TV show think of it and then give it to how did nobody in the government know to, like usually it was a NCIS.
Like cyber NCIS?
No, just regular NCIS. Okay. It was like season 12, which I think just ended, or they're on season 13. I don't know. But anyway, it was like 2 years ago.
It's Mark Harmon, right?
Yeah. But normally when something like a show like that has an idea, it's something that's previously been addressed in the government like a year or two before. Like it's not a new, you know what I'm saying? Like they don't break on shit that's happening before it happens.
So you're thinking that the government actually introduced thoughts that...
No, I'm asking why the government didn't... Like, how did the government not think of this? Or how, weren't they on top of this?
They're given a strategy to, like, they should have waited for it to happen before they could actually report on it or talk about it?
No, I don't think the show did any. I hope the show didn't. That'd be fucked up. NCIS gets canceled due to Dave Weingarten's conspiracy theory.
Well, you're right, though. You don't want to give them the blueprint for an attack. You don't want to give them a blueprint for making it happen. And I have always been a proponent of, you know, if you have military strategies or, you know, war secrets, you don't need to hear them on Fox News or whatever other cunty network you want to watch to find out your news. We don't need to hear about it. You know, keep it a secret. Keep it a matter of national intelligence. And you're right. Don't introduce those thoughts. I don't think, in that case, I think it was just a matter of time before the terrorists use whatever vehicles are out there to convey their message or, you know, expand their forces or whatever the fucking bullshit they're promoting.
How long do you think?
Sorry.
So you're a big proponent of, you know what, we all love sausage, but we don't want to see how it's made. Do what you got to fucking do.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's, you know, it's a matter of, you know, intelligence, right? There's intelligent people that should know this information because they're intelligent and they know what to do with it. And then there's stupid fucks like me and everybody else that don't need to know this information because we can't do anything with it other than be like, oh, shit, TMZ, good job. Fuck that. I don't need to know about that stuff. I can't do anything useful with that information. It doesn't help me to know or not know. So I pay, you know, my tax dollars and put my faith in these government officials that are well-trained and paid well to make these decisions for me. And if they're not, get them the fuck out. It's like when I root for the Browns. You all suck. Get the fuck out. Johnny Manziel, I like you. You continue. Everybody else, get the fuck out. Gary Barnage can stay too. Joe Thomas.
What about Crowell? Didn't he just rip off like 200 yards?
One game, my friend. So we'll see what happens from here on out. But if you look at the aggregate for the whole, his average for the year and his totals, they're pretty bad.
Well, he's been injured a lot, but he was injured a lot last year, too.
Stop sticking up for Isaiah Crowell. He's a bitch like every other. Duke Johnson's the only one that has some hope. But no, they have a bitchy fucking team as a whole, and it's the organization's fault.
After Jim Brown, who have you really had that was a runner?
He didn't have to create that kind of gap, man. We had Bernie Kosar. You're talking about as a runner.
As a running back.
Well, we had... People, Ernest Biner had some good times, also had the fumble. We had Terry Metcalf, Eric Metcalf. We had one good year from Trent Richardson. But no, you're right. We have not had a lot of prolific anything since we came back in the league.
Yeah,
Art Modell, I hope somebody's shitting in his mouth in hell right now. He can eat a fat dick for all of Cleveland.
I'm a Buccaneers fan, and we have... a fistful of playoff appearances and a Super Bowl trip, but that we have one, and it was
shut the fuck. You have one, my friend.
Oh,
Yeah.
I thought Arizona was...
Dude, don't tell me about getting pussy. I'm a virgin and I'm trying to get laid. Don't talk about your pussy.
It's not going to happen this year. So where do you want to see the Browns doing the draft next year? Offense? Well, no, you guys got an offensive lineman this year. But what position? If you just you have the number one stud coming out of college for whatever pick, any position, what position?
I think our offensive line looks pretty good, right? We have we had our center back. Joe Thomas is a mainstay. I think their offensive line is good. They got to work on their defense, man. Their defense didn't show up this year. I don't know if that was a lack of effort, but they need leadership in the core of their defense. They need a middle linebacker or somebody that can take charge and run that defense.
What about Barcavius Mingo?
Well, you should be talking to Law. I don't know. It's college football, man.
No. The linebacker that you guys got up for Cleveland last year.
Martinez Mingo.
No, Barcavius. The Mingo. Who are your linebackers?
The guy you might be talking about, the Hawaiian guy, Danny Shelton.
No. No, not that you were drafted. You drafted him like 2 years ago.
Oh, two. I don't know, man.
Oh.
I'm a fan, but I can't rattle off all the statistics the way I can with the UFC.
Yeah.
But no, I think the Browns, I know enough, and it's just
you're still pretty knowledgeable, yeah.
It's a tough organization to follow, though, man. Like, they just suck every year, and every year they draft the same bullshit quarterback every year, a shitty defensive player. They just need a good somebody that we can trust, that can make sound decisions, and not perpetuate the assholeness that is the Cleveland Browns.
You guys will get there, you'll have some early draft picks.
Don't feed me bullshit, man. Just be silent and be like, yep, you're a Browns fan.
Sorry.
That's it.
Sorry. I try to be supportive on the show. All right, no. So we're going to do Netflix Pearl.
Let's do it.
Give me a Netflix Pearl, a movie. You know what? I'll expand to TV shows. A movie or a TV show that you've seen on Netflix that you think people might not have seen that you think is worth a peek.
Yes. The fiance and I were watching. It's called Lie to Me.
Oh, it's a good show.
It's a good show.
It's old.
It was only on for 3 years.
Yeah,
it's fine. But it's got the guy from The Hulk. The British guy.
Tim Roth.
He's fucking awesome.
He is.
And he's the main guy. If you like Criminal Minds or CSI or things like that, where they just try to figure out crimes and enforce the law and shit in a creative way, it's pretty cool. He can read people's facial expressions and eye movements, and it's all visual stuff that he interprets to figure out if somebody's telling the truth or what they're... It's really fucking a cool science.
I remember, because I watched most of the first season of that when it was actually on, but I remember him sitting there looking and telling people, no, if you look up to the left, it means this because you're accessing that. And yeah, so it was a really cool show. So
very
cool. Good one.
Yeah, Tim Roth.
Nice.
Baller.
Well, I will stick in the TV vein then, and I'm going to go Warehouse 13.
What's that?
Are you familiar at all with Supernatural?
No. I mean, I know the word.
Our Warehouse 13 is kind of there are two government agents, and there are these artifacts that do different things. Like, I think the first one is the blood skull, where you can, they're magic infused through energy, and there's a little physics explanation as part of the reason. But there's all these different artifacts attributed to genius people. One of the people that was credited with discovering magnetism. He has a suit that if you put it on, you can increase you can use the suit pretty much to be a magnet, crawl up metal walls and shit.
Wow.
But something always bad happens. So if you're not careful, the suit will quickly gain too much power and then you're fucked. Metal things just start flying at you. So it's different weird things like that. And every episode they have to go town to town. And, because there might be an artifact here, so they have to investigate to see if they even should be there. And then what could it possibly be? Then how do we find it and stop it and neutralize the power?
And, who's the main character?
Nobody that you would really know. It's a bunch of people that when you watch it, you'll be like, oh, I've seen this guy on that. I've seen this dude on Better Off Ted, and this guy was on Leverage, and this guy. I mean, just different weird things that you're like, oh, I've seen that guy a lot in this. Probably the most famous is the black DA from, I think she did for Law and Order. She was in Sons of Anarchy. She was in The Shield. She always plays law enforcement of subtype.
Mm, okay.
But yeah, it's a really neat show. And then they also have a season arc. So, and then they do an even just a different, odd special Christmas episode at the end of every season. It's 12 episode seasons.
So Warehouse 13.
Warehouse 13. They have like, I think they have two or three seasons on Netflix. It wasn't a bad show.
Cool.
Yeah, it was just, it was stupid entertainment. Don't go into it thinking like this is going to be ground. No, it's stupid. It's entertainment. You know, they're kind of funny, you know, just doofy people that you would, you know, relate to. It's
how many episodes before you pull the plug? Like, I mean, every series, every binge-watching opportunity, there's got to be, like, a number of shows where you're like, this is not working, got to pull the plug. How many would you say, if it's not up their alley, give it this many?
Two.
Two. Okay. So if by the third episode, you're not like, this is really cool.
Yeah, like, I never give anything more than, like, if I'm not in love with you by two episodes, I'm watching the third episode, like, all right, give me a reason to keep watching. Like, all you... Right. Like, I let just give you two naturally, and if you can't hook me, then I'm going to make you hook, and nope.
Two is reasonable.
Yeah.
Three is pretty generous, I think.
Yeah, two or three. If you like it, you're going to know by then. Especially, you know, if you can just sit there and watch them back to back.
Going back to the bowl here.
All right, we'll do one more topic before we do the shamelessness.
Is there an age limit on graphic tees? Absolutely not.
My co-host gets very upset about this. Last... episode.
Not graphic tees, though. My thing is...
You were upset because I had superheroes on my t-shirt and my underwears.
Well,
so no underoos is what you're saying.
They're not underoos, they're boxer briefs.
I don't... He had a shirt on last week that was a Tootsie Pop.
Oh, yeah.
And then I don't... It's two Tootsie Pops,
and it says, lick them, don't bite them.
So ironic graphic tees.
Yeah, I don't like those. Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't like the superhero ones really either. I don't feel like grown men should be walking around with Batman symbols.
And keep
look
in mind,
at me, I'm Batman. I'm 36.
And keep in mind, listening audience,
better
that
watch
Dave,
that.
Dave's sitting
I
here.
I'm alienating a lot of people.
yeah, you are.
Dave's sitting here in a Bruce Lee DJ t-shirt. We've all seen it. A bunch of us have wanted to buy it. I'm not talking shit on it at
I was,
all.
I was that guy. I bought it.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I see other people wearing it, it'll not be as cool. But I'm still going to wear it with pride. It's Bruce Lee, my friend.
I think if I'd ever seen it when I was just out in the general public, like it's always online, and I'm like, I'm not going to go to your website to buy this because you're advertising on my Facebook or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I've never seen that. But it's, I like Bruce Lee, and I think it's funny.
Some dude did the most piece of shit thing. I went to Orlando, and I think it was the other bar, and some dude came up to me. He's like, dude, I almost wore that same exact shirt tonight. And I was like, what? What the fuck was that, man? Like, you almost wore this. What are you just telling me? This is a shirt that a lot of people have.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, keep it to yourself.
Yeah. So
I
that
he was trying to be friendly, though. Like,
not
hey,
friendly.
Man.
Hey, it could have been like, oh, I like that shirt, or hey, whatever. But he had to tell me that he almost wore it, which means that could be representative of a lot of other people. And I just have this really random, common shirt that he called me hacky. Essentially, as far as graphic tees are concerned,
as far as your
am I allowed to
choices?
Defend my graphic tee? Like in your world, am I allowed to?
I don't have a problem
it?
With it. It's not graphic tees. I have a problem with. It's just specific ones, like
graphic
goofy
violence
ones.
Tees. Okay,
no, those I'm all for. But just
he doesn't
ones,
like ironic sayings.
Ironic,
I guess.
Yeah, ironic. That's like that reminds me of high school. Maybe
right,
that's
I think
what
it's
it is.
Whatever.
Just, I'll agree with that.
If you know what, I'm almost 36. I'm comfortable wearing that shirt. I don't care.
I think I think St. Patrick's Day would be the one exclusion you'd have to make from that because.
The kiss me, I'm Irish.
There's so much of that. You can't really hate on it to that extent.
Ugh.
I think you have to make a concession for St. Patrick's Day. The women need that.
That's actually where I don't make the concession. I'm just like, no, take your fucking kiss me, I'm Irish shirts off. They're not funny anymore. Stop it. Stop it.
I don't know. I think anytime...
I'm over slutty Halloween costumes, too. Just knock... Well, don't knock you, it off, but...
Are you married? Are you married right now, or are you,
no.
So you still...
I'm single.
You're still putting your penis places, right?
Yeah, in my
you
hand,
hate,
mostly.
You're over the slutty Halloween costume.
Mostly,
you're done with that. That's not exciting anymore.
It's just I've seen it. I want originality. I mean, if you're gonna be slutty, at least be original slutty.
Do you have to be original when there's nakedness involved? I mean, that's kind of original, right?
I've been through a lot of nakedness, bro.
So you want nakedness with like just weird? I don't get it. Like, what more do you need than nakedness? How as a single heterosexual male do you balk at a slutty Halloween costume?
Make it original. Right. I've seen titties. I've had thousands of breasts in my hand. I've played. I
thousands?
Haven't fucked thousands.
Thousands.
Jesus.
Yeah. Sometimes
you,
just walk up and grab a titty.
I had no idea I was on a podcast with a legend. Hey, Will Chamberlain
of titties. So we can cut that down to the high hundreds, and then that's just titties.
500. That's
still
pretty
bragging.
Good.
Still
dude,
bragging.
I've played with titties.
High hundreds could be nine, eight, 900.
I've played with titties in bars before, and then never even kissed a girl. Just sat there and played with a titty in a bar, Like, you haven't done that?
What bar?
Like, the machine at the end of the bar where you, like naked
no,
photo hunt?
No. One time I was playing beer pong with this girl, and she was, like, sitting there fucking pulling her, like, not quite pulling her titties out.
If you can't see, because this is a podcast, but he's grabbing his...
I'm doing the shake my titties move to distract you.
He's holding up like two fists and he's squishing his titties.
Squishing my titties. But yeah, she shook her titties together and I made the shot. And she goes, well, now you get to play with them. And I was like, well, okay. All
right.
So I played with her titties in the bar.
I like those steaks. Those are good steaks.
I didn't even know those were the rules. I probably would have choked.
Yeah.
But I was just distracted by the titties up my arm to the work. Beer pong. But let's...
High hundreds. Hey,
good for you, brother.
Well, like I said, I just drank and just would play with random titties. If we go over an hour, is that okay?
I don't care. Yeah, you just said you wanted to do an hour. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's weird
if we do. We talked about it.
Yeah, we're going to keep going. All right. But yeah, like, and it's not something I'm necessarily proud of. It's not something that I'm like, yeah, fucking great. I was a man whore. Like, I just used women. Yay! Like, it's a horrible alcoholic time in my life. I don't drink anymore. And I don't, but yeah, like titties are whatever. Who cares?
That's why I'm glad you like titties. I'm glad whether that's past or
wait, how did we steer into this? Well, oh,
you
so
talked
yeah.
about slutty Halloween costumes. And
yeah,
that's
so
not...
I've seen them. I've played with them. I've padded butts. It's stimulate my mind. Wow. I can stimulate my penis.
So you're at the strip club. You're the guy that's like, you better climb that pole and fucking like do dances like a monkey from fucking pole to pole or else I'm not enchanted by this scenery.
I just want to see an effort at a strip club. I lower the standards because if I'm walking into a strip club, I'm already lowering my own standards of just how I live my life in general.
But then they're lowering their standards to come talk to you. I mean, it's
but that's definite. I mean, that happens just in strip clubs, at bars, at work. Like, no, if a girl is talking to me, my first response is, who touched you? What fucked up your life to make you?
Don't be so hard on yourself. You're handsome.
You guys are meeting each other halfway, you know? Like, it's reciprocity.
Yeah, I will not argue with you that I'm a handsome one. I appreciate that. You're a good-looking guy, too. I'm not
gay.
Thank
you, man.
But I am awkward, and I say, because I've never really been good with the ladies when I wasn't drinking. Like, that's how, like, my whole, like, sexual awakening, when I lost a bunch of weight in my early 20s and just fucked my way through my mid-20s, I was drinking the whole time. So I was very smooth in my own head. No idea what was coming out of my mouth, but girls in their 20s are stupid. So everything worked.
That's true.
And so now I'm in my 30s and I'm sober and the women I want to talk to are intelligent. And I'm just like, I don't pick my boogers anymore. That's my pickup line. I don't know what to like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not smooth at
all. Dude, you're a fucking comic. I mean, however, whether you like yourself as a comic or not, I mean, like we all kind of hate ourselves a little bit. But
oh, that's why we do that.
You're still a comic and you understand kind of how to get people to laugh. So that has to be your fucking thing. You're going up an audience of one, dude.
Yeah, but you've seen me on stage. You know the type of humor I do. So if I go to humor off stage, then I'm doing the fucked up jokes because that's what I think. And I say things that they'll get laughs, but then I get encouraged by the laughs. And I always take it a step too far. Like when I'm on stage, my shit's under control. I know what I'm doing. I'm very confident. I know I can make.
But you're doing crowd work. So you're doing crowd work with a crowd of one, and you can't fucking cuss or whatever. I mean, you have restrictions. You put yourself in a little conditional stand-up scenario and you knock it out. Do a little crowd work.
That sounds terrifying.
Well, sorry. You know what else is terrifying? Fucking eHarmony and J-Date. Those are terrifying. So whichever route you want to take.
A friend of mine, another comic from New York.
Not that you'd be welcome on J-Date, by the way.
I'm going to tell you about this. Another friend of mine that's a comic that's Jewish and he's from New York, so you know, a lot of stereotypes.
Oh, yeah.
Just boom, 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 boom.
Melting pot.
Oh, yeah. But I put on Facebook, I kept getting a lot of emails from J-Date, like, hey, sign up now. Hey, like, seriously, like an email every other day from J-Date, and I put it on Facebook, and I was like, I'm not so lonely. I'm ready to change religion. And my friend, my Jewish from New York's like, you want to make it in this business, right? I was like, fuck, I guess I got to convert.
Jews do kind of run entertainment. Yeah. Don't hate on the Jews. Pick another demographic. Pick like gypsies or something.
And he works for a major TV network. Yeah. Like he's all, yeah.
Yeah. No, those, some Jews took a good respectable path.
So you say that you're pretty respectable. You got a nice job, and you're able to buy all the Apple shit. And
yeah, I'd say. Well, I don't know. I didn't take a lot of risks when I was younger, you know. So it was easy for me to focus on one path. But I didn't have a whole lot of fun other than, like I said, steroids and bitches.
Yeah, well, that's pretty fun.
Steroids and bitches. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Rap album-esque. Yeah.
I have a question for you because you are a pretty successful guy. And what? Sorry, am I talking like that?
Yes.
Sorry.
This isn't your fucking podcast. Well, you can just cuss on mine. Just relax. He has to be proper on his.
I'm just used to not. So
the homemade broadcast is. Hi, here. Come on, listen. I fucked that up. Just go. Just tell your story.
Jesus, what the fuck is that?
I don't know. Being that you are successful in your job in your career now, is comedy more of a hobby for you, or is it something that you would want to pursue and maybe get out of your line of work now?
If I had an opportunity to get out of my line of work, I would take it in a heartbeat. The only problem is I do pretty well. I've been working in tech for 16 years in a, you know, kind of a senior position. So it's kind of hard for me to replicate that income with comedy.
Right.
I do love it, and I'm also getting married, and, you know, so it's hard for me to give it the attention that a lot of the younger comics that haven't really established that layer of their life yet would give it. But you know, I'm doing what I can because I really enjoy it. But at this point, it's mostly a hobby.
Gotcha.
And I'm really trying to make it more, but I have to be realistic too, and I just can't.
How long have you been doing it?
It's been about 4.5 years.
Okay, so you're actually right about the same time I started then.
Yeah.
Oh, now for some reason I thought you, I guess because, now do you find that being out in Tampa, like it's a little bit easier because that's where the big clubs are and you're of course part of Cigar City Comedy, which is out of Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool because you do have Side Splitters and Improv in Tampa. But I don't know, like I really enjoy being able to have your opinion heard by somebody that wants to hear what you have to say. Like, that's the coolest thing, is I can talk all day to people that are just fucking just going through the motions, but I know that somebody wants to at least give me a chance to explain to them what I have to say, and there's really no other forum where you can do that. No. I mean, I can do my podcast, but people may not fucking listen to my podcast. Yeah. But if I have an audience there and I can see them ingesting what I'm saying, and it's my point of view, and I can see their head nod and hear their laughter and their applause, that's amazing. You can't replicate that. So I don't know that I ever want to give that up. Whether or not I can make that something that financially can be rewarding enough to leave my established career, you know, that's another story, but I'm going to give it every opportunity it has.
Now, are you in a position where, because I know what kind of trips up some people is that eventually you get to a position where you're traveling more,
right,
but you're still not making enough to really have to let go of the day job because, you know, you're doing maybe 1 weekend this month and 2 weekends the next month and two, then one. So you're not making what you would need to make. Do you think that with your job you could take that week off a month, then 2 weeks next month, or at least, you know, 4 days out of those 2 weeks?
Yeah, I can work remote, so I have that flexibility. It's just, you know, I'm not getting tons of opportunities to travel at this point. But it's I've negotiated flexibility with them, so if I need to, I can move. Move around, you know, temporarily and stuff.
Yeah, so you can just take, like, a laptop with you. So if, say, you're booked up in, you know, Atlanta for the week, instead of driving 8 hours, you can just go up there, grab your hotel room, knock out some work.
Exactly.
Do your show.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're in a perfect position.
Yeah, it's very nice, and I do a really good job. So they see that, and they kind of give me a little bit of leeway.
How does your girlfriend react to you doing comedy, being gone some nights and having to go do, you know, mics or shows?
The ladies fawning over your smoothness.
or creating personal space from my
thanks. Smoothness. Nice meeting you, Becca. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. No, she met me when I was doing comedy. I was really new at it, but she met me, you know, as a comic. So she knew that I was doing the mics and she knew that I would be out late. So it was kind of built into our relationship from the get-go. But she loves laughing and she likes my style of humor. So I think that helps to her being an advocate for what I'm doing.
It's important. You got to have, if you're going to do this thing, you got to be with somebody supportive. I've talked to a few guys who broke up with their girls because they weren't as understanding as probably they should have been. But, you know, on the flip side of that, I understand if somebody doesn't want to deal with that too, because, you know, all the, you know, Bill Burr says you got to be out there 4 nights a week at least if you want to be doing this.
Sure.
And if you're not there 4 nights a week and you're in a relationship, I understand how that would be. Well, it's not fair to get mad at the girl for that. And you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I even had one girl that didn't get into a relationship with me because of the fact that she knew I was a comic, and she knew, like, because we were talking and we started hanging out a little bit, and then she's like, I can't start anything with you because you're going to be out late nights, you're going to do this. Like I told her, eventually, you know, I'm going to move to LA or Chicago, like, to pursue comedy and really go into it. She's like, that's not my plan. Like, I'm staying here. I'm doing this. Like,
yeah, she was honest with you.
Yeah. Oh, no. And it was very nice. Yeah. And we, you know, we're still friends afterwards. It was fine. It was whatever. But it was just kind of like, that's, I think, why we were still friends, is because, no, it was very honest. Just like, no, hey, that's great. You're a great person. But I just know that this will never go beyond.
Yeah, that's her choice. Know. I think you have to at least respect the other person's real choice, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever they want to do, it's not something you should try to negotiate, you know? So if that's their choice, cool.
Yeah, and, you know, in a situation like that, they know that it's really going to be do more harm than good anything else if they try to make you, you know, quit your dream or whatnot. But so, and it's Jillian, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think I've ever met her.
You came over for the podcast one time.
Yeah, but I don't think she was there.
Oh, she wasn't there, okay.
That was with me and Jared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I don't think she was there.
Well, you guys will have to meet. She's pretty cool. I'm pretty lucky. I'm 38, you know, so that's one of the reasons, too, that you don't hear me say, oh, shit, I got to fucking expedite this, because I'm practical about it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm 38, and, you know, there are going to have to be some kind of special circumstances for me to have opportunities, and I want to make sure that it's the right thing. So I'm working on stuff that I think that needs improvement. I'm not to the level where I would really say that I'm super marketable in all venues, so I want to kind of make myself more well-rounded. But if I get to the point where I feel like I'm well-suited for furthering it, I will fucking hit it head-on.
So you're not marketable at all? You're not hitting the urban clubs? Is that not?
Well, I think I have some things to work on. Like, I'm just still not at the point where I want to be. So I still will do any show, anytime, anywhere, but I'm not going to really say I'm the best guy for this or whatever, because I'm not there yet.
Have you done an urban club?
I've done the improv sometimes when it's, you know, or improv crowd, which is essentially urban.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm a fan favorite with the urban crowd. That's probably one of the areas where I need to work on it. But that's just me not having full comfort level with my stuff on stage yet.
Yeah.
I'm not as precocious as some of the people out there, and I'm just real with myself, and I'll figure it out, but it's just not completely there.
Well, it goes one way or the other. Either they love you or they hate you.
Right.
Like, I did a show for Sean when he did Jazz and Jokes.
Okay.
And did great. Had a great time. Like, 10 minutes, great set. They laughed at everything. They loved me. People were giving me high fives. It was awesome. Then I did one from a couple months ago. Some of the same material, but, you know, different room, different crowd, so it's not like it was recycled to them. It was just some of my mainstay stuff. And, you know, a bunch of new stuff that had been working everywhere else, and nah, son, they were not. So it's like, if you get them early and they like you, great.
Yeah.
If not, you know, just have fun, do your time, practice your material, and hope they don't boo.
Yeah, it's something that a lot of people have that in their arsenal, and some people not so much or not consistently. So I'm probably in that latter category, and that's something that I'll need to fix.
Well, I think if you try to change who you are at all, they can see that. And I think I did. Like, I don't think I changed anything the second time. I just definitely didn't change who I am or how I deliver my material at all. Like, you just kind of always be you, which I think is a good thing to say on stage anyway. You know, be whoever you are.
Right.
You know, let it be natural and say, those are the people that I like, where I feel like if I sat down and had a conversation with them, it'd be that same really cool person. Be like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done one in a while, so it's been probably 3 years, you know.
Yeah.
So I did them early on. Jazz and Jokes I did once, and I ate shit. and I did improv one. Well, no, was it improv? No, it was a different show out in Ybor somewhere, I forget. And it was predominantly urban, you know, black audience, and I didn't hit him hard enough right off the bat, you know.
Yeah.
So instead of you taking a gradual approach to get into my set, I probably should have gone with something quick hitting.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, I was following people that were just boom, 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 boom. So that was just me learning, having more self-awareness essentially on stage.
Well,
I think now I do better. For sure.
Yeah. You're not a real speedy guy anyway.
Sometimes
like you kind of like just let your punchlines hit and then look at the crowd and be like, yeah, take that. And then do your next one. And it's good. No, I'm not saying anything negative. I like you as a comic. That's why I had you on the show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I don't tell as many stories, I guess. So sometimes it's a little more structured as opposed to free-flowing.
Yeah, I don't know. I try to do more stories just because that's how I've felt. I've always been funny. but
work. Everybody's got a different different style.
Sometimes I ramble, I get a little high, and I just go. And then all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, this isn't funny anymore. All right, I'm going to back up and go over here, see what happens.
Yeah.
Do you got anything coming up?
Yeah, I got a couple of side splitters dates early next year. I have the wedding coming up in March, bachelor party, a bunch of other shit, so I haven't been able to really book a lot of weekends. Mm-hmm. So between now and, let's say, February, I have a couple scattered dates. You can find me on CigarCityComedy.com, DavidBFunny.com. But yeah, nothing really super
fantastic.
Well,
what are the dates, man? Promote.
Well, nothing. Yeah, I got Side Splitters, February. I got Joe List, February and March, right around the wedding time. I got a thing from Murillo, got a room. I don't know some of these names, so I really can't promote right now. It's me, dude. I've been going nonstop with like the wedding website and this and fucking all that other shit. So I have a bunch of shit on my calendar. I can't even tell you right now.
Are you planning your wedding?
Yeah, it's just us two.
Yeah.
We're going to be in St. Lucia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're going to live stream. We got a whole wedding thing going on.
Really?
Yeah, just us.
That's a weird idea.
Yeah, well.
Like, I've never heard of that before. Is that like something that's going on, or was that you two just going, you know what? Let's like.
It's for us, man.
Like, please explain. Like, it sounds like a wonderful idea. I don't mean to make it sound like I'm shitting on it.
No, it's just us doing it for us. You know, we're going to have a baller-ass time in St. Lucia, a great resort, and just do everything without factoring in another layer, you know? The family and everybody else will watch from back home. And
so everybody can just do it from the comfort of their home.
Watch it on your fucking phone if you want.
So people will be driving to work watching you get married.
I mean, probably not. Like, to be honest with you, A, that's not safe. B, I don't expect any of my buddies to really watch the ceremony anyways. But we'll have a beer when I get back.
Oh, well, that's cool, man. Yeah. Instead of spending all the money on this great big, you know, event half for you, half for other people.
Shitty food, a lot of waiting around and watching celebrations that you've seen before by somebody else. It's not an enjoyable experience, at least from a male perspective.
There's always a fight in the family.
Yeah, so we get to organize us. Everybody else gets to participate. The old people don't feel left out and can't bitch about not being able to travel to the wedding. And everybody's happy.
Just turn on your computer, Grandma. No, the green button, Grandma. God damn it, Grandma.
I will send somebody to your house to hold a phone in front of your face and show you the wedding. But it's going to happen, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Cool.
Yeah, and when is that happening?
March 1st.
Nice. And how long are you guys going to be in wherever you're going to be?
A little less than a week.
Okay. I just didn't want to say it on the air. Let you guys have your privacy.
Yeah, no, we'll be there a little less than a week. And we're not going to do a long, drawn-out honeymoon. It's going to kind of be that honeymoon marriage together,
mm-hmm.
and then we're gonna try to do like a Europe trip the following year.
So, oh wow!
Like shorter honeymoon with like a kind of follow up secondary honeymoon.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's a really cool. See, that's why I need to talk to you more, David, because you're a little bit older than me. You got a nice life plan going there.
Thanks.
Well, that you all successful.
I try.
You probably have your shit together more than any person I've ever had on this show, and that's including me. So,
hot damn. If there's a trophy for that or something, I'll accept it. You know, if you want to give me a trophy.
You see, you like that marker? That's a Sharpie, son.
No, not a spontaneous trophy. I didn't know if there was a trophy for most distinguished guest thus far, but.
No, but.
I'll take it, man.
But
Just think about it.
We'll do something.
Yeah,
from now on, it'll be a challenge to anybody else. Like, can you be a better person than Dave Weingarten?
Pretty sure they can be. So that's why I want my trophy now.
Take the money and run, my friend.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I know you're on Twitter, David B. Funny on Twitter.
Yep, David B. Funny. Pretty much Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. David B. Funny.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you can follow them in that. And you're part of Cigar City Comedy.
You can find me on the site. My schedule and all the specifics of where I'm going to be, they're on both davidbfunny.com and Cigar City.
All right. Well, there you go. I'm James Bailey at James Bailey Haha on Twitter, Comedian James Bailey on Facebook. But when my page won't say comedian, but if you type it in, it helps you find me because there's 8 billion James Baileys.
Remember
fucking
all that.
Facebook. Fucking Facebook.
Facebook with a long disclaimer.
I hate Facebook so much, but I use it because I get mindlessly bored. So
that's what it's good for.
Will?
@home_made_man on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.com/HMB Radio, HMBRadio.com. Snapchat, you can find me at The Homemade Man if you want to send me pictures of your dick.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Why not? Yeah, so everybody's sending your dick pics to Will, but just Will. Just Will, not James.
I'll take a look. I don't care.
James doesn't want any dick pics. I'm good.
He'll take a look. He doesn't care.
I always like to know what other people are working with. Will's compare and contrast.
He's a very progressive man. Hopefully his buddy Emerson Briscott, what's that guy's name?
Who?
The guy you hate so much.
Oh, Brentwood.
Brentwood. It's just a real douchey name. I just always douchey name. All right. David, thank you very much, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Your podcast.
The Frightened Deer Podcast. It's mixed martial arts and comedy, because I'm a huge fan of both, and I have a bunch of local comics and fighters and just other interesting people on, and you can find me on iTunes, Stitcher, all that good stuff, SoundCloud, all that good stuff.
So there you go. Go listen to David talk about men beating on men, and enjoy the rest of your life, or the next 2 weeks until you hear me again.
Browns 2025. This is the town where the clowns put it down, baby.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.